All right, Alexander, let's talk about Boris Johnson and how he's doing in the UK. His popularity continues to remain pretty high given all the the terrible stuff that has come his way. But you were telling me before the video, probably the driving force to all of this is Brexit. We did a video on Brexit. We did an update video on Brexit and what the situation is there. And I guess the fact that Johnson continues to stay the course on Brexit is helping his popularity, but obviously the pandemic, the lockdown, you know, that hurt.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been one of the most remarkable things, and I've noticed now that it's starting to cause increasing unease on the sort of liberal left side of things. I mean, if you remember, we had the election last year, in December last year, when to the astonishment of some, but not to the astonishment of us in the Duran, Johnson and the Conservatives won a convincing victory, and then it ended up with a big majority in the House of Commons. I'm still puzzled as to why it should have been a surprise, given how central the question of Brexit had become for people in Britain. And in England in particular, we'd always said in our programmes, and you can go all the way back to our Brexit coverage, right from the moment the Brexit referendum took place in June 2016. And, you know, both when we were just a website, and then when we started to do this channel, we have consistently said that any party that tried to reverse Brexit would be hammered when voters came out and actually voted, and any party that set out to implement a true and authentic Brexit would be rewarded. That is exactly what happened in December 2019. But, you know, it still seemed to astonish many people, which is, I find, very strange. And what's really very interesting is that that calculus continues. Now, what we've had since December 2019, since that election, is we've had a new Labour leader. And of course, the Labour Party did something which I wrote a long article about this, which you'll find on the Duran, but it also appears on Consortium News, in which I said what the Labour Party needed to do was to start reaching out to the working class voters in the English constituencies who had heavily voted for Brexit and who've switched to supporting the Conservatives in the election. So what does the Labour Party do? It chooses Keir Starmer, arch Remainer, the person who in 2019 had been central to all the plots to try to implement a second referendum and to delay Brexit as long as possible, and who, you know, was all the time in the news, in, you know, at the center of all these plots and intrigues. And of course, he's not working class by any conceivable definition, but is a London MP, a London-based MP. And of course, he's also got a title. He's Sir Keir Starmer. Exactly the wrong kind of person to appeal to those sort of voters. So that's whom the Labour Party chose as its leader. I find that he's been a, frankly, very unconvincing leader. He's come up with no new ideas of any kind. But putting all that aside, despite the crisis of the pandemic, which most people accept the Johnson government has not handled well, despite the economic recession, what we see is that the Conservative vote has barely shifted. It is essentially the same as it was at the time of the December 2019 election. And this is causing real surprise and real puzzlement, and people are asking why. And again, the answer is obvious. Whatever you think about Boris Johnson, he understands one thing, which is that he has to get Brexit done. That's how he won the election. That's what he said he would do. He got Britain out of the European Union, out of its political structures in January. And he's now committed himself. He's nailed his colours to the mast, as we say in England, that he's going to see it done and bring us out of his economic arrangements by the end of this year. And he's prepared to accept a no-deal Brexit if that has to be, if that is the only way it can be done. And I think that is what is sustaining his support. There was a very interesting article by a political commentator, very clever one, called Dominic Lawson, who made exactly that point. He said the British people, at least the English people, the English voters who voted Johnson back into power in December, will keep faith with Johnson, provided he keeps faith with them. And he has to do that by getting Brexit, as he says, done. And that's what is sustaining his support. And that's why Keir Starmer can't, electorally speaking, touch him. And that's something which, again, I would have thought was obvious. And again, it puzzles me that it's not been properly understood, and that so many clever people, supposedly clever people, in the commentariat and in the British Labour Party can't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk about two people, actually, to wrap up the video. The first one is about Starmer. For all his faults, for all his pluses and minuses, at least Corbyn was a character. I mean, he had something that differentiated him, and he was in the media, and the media paid attention to him. And you know, he had some sort of gravitas to him, pluses or minuses. He was there. He was present.
Yes.
Starmer seems like he's just not even around. It's like no one, maybe it's my impression, at least in the international press, outside of the UK, no one really pays attention to him at all. I don't see anything written about the guy. I don't see him making any dynamic speeches. I don't see him, you know, pitching any dynamic platforms or policies. He just seems very vanilla. It's kind of, you know, he's just there. So he seems like a placeholder almost. And there's no gravitas to the guy. I don't know. That's my opinion. I want you to sound off on that. And the second question I have for you is, what's going on with Farage?
Well, let's deal with Starmer first, because I think you're absolutely right. And sometimes distance gives the correct perspective. And you're quite right. That is the international view of Starmer. And it is the right one. Now, in Britain, very few leaders, political leaders, have come to, you know, have won election to the leadership of their party with so much media support as Starmer has had. And if you go to the sort of Remainer media, they still say glowing things about him. But he's come up with no new ideas. He's made no great speeches. He gives no conception of any vision. He comes across to me as both very boring, has no real, you know, policies or vision. And remember Corbyn, I mean, one of the things about Corbyn was that he was very brave in his positions on foreign policy. He was dead against all the regime change wars. We don't really know what Starmer's views about that are because he doesn't talk about them, but one senses that he'd probably support the regime change wars again, which is an unpopular policy with people here. So
he's like a Blair Light.
He's a Blair Light.
Like a lower version of Blair.
A very, very lower version of Blair Light. And what he does is, you see, he was a lawyer, very skilled advocate. So he seems to, he's retreated into his comfort zone. We have every week this question time thing in the House of Commons where the leader of the opposition asks questions of Boris Johnson. And of course, Starmer, because he's got the, you know, trial experience, the courtroom experience, he's very good at that. And he just does that. And I think he thinks that that's going to, you know, win him lots of credit. And of course, it does with a liberal commentariat. But if you're talking about, you know, most people around Britain, I'm not talking about 99% of them. I'm talking about 99.9999999% of them. They're just not interested. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to them what difficult questions Starmer asks Johnson, whether Johnson has some trouble answering them. it doesn't register on them at all. I mean, they just don't care. What they care about is, what does Starmer think about Brexit? What does Starmer think about the economy? What does Starmer think about international affairs? What are his ideas? What are his vision? And as you correctly say, he's somebody who has none of Corbyn's, you know, views on these things, and none of the sort of defined profile that Corbyn had. And I'm going to add something else. I mean, one of the things that Corbyn did manage was that he did win an awful lot of support amongst young people. I mean, the very interesting thing about Corbyn was that, and if you read the two elections, the one in 2017 and the one in 2019, Corbyn, you know, runaway victory amongst young people, and not just young people, but younger people. So it continued to be, you know, Labour winning big majorities among people in their 30s and early 40s and all of this. Well, I think that all that Starmer is doing is he's boring those people completely. So I predict that they're just not going to turn out to vote for him. They might not vote for the Conservatives or for Johnson, but you're going to see a fall in overall turnout because, you know, the students and all of those people are going to say to themselves, well, you know, what is Starmer? You know, we were prepared to go out and campaign and vote for Corbyn, but we're not interested in Starmer because he doesn't really give the impression that he's very interesting for us, interested in us, and that he's not interesting anyway. So I think there's a high prospect, high possibility that when we get the next election, the Conservative majority is actually going to increase.
And Farage?
Right, okay, Farage. Now, he's still there. Obviously, his Brexit party has been to some extent stood down. He remains, in such contrast to Starmer, the politician who has the common touch. I mean, he's the person, you know, who can go and fill a crowd and work a crowd and go on television. He's got the personality and the vibrancy which no other politician remotely has. I think Johnson is frightened of him because he knows perfectly well, again, that if he doesn't carry out Brexit by the end of this year, Farage is still there. And the same thing will happen to Johnson as happened to Theresa May. You start to see Farage reactivating his Brexit party. And you see all that working class voters who supported Johnson in the December election. Remember, Farage gave them the green light to do it. I mean, it's important to remember that. That's sort of an aspect of the December election that has been basically, you know, people don't talk about it, but it was critically important to the scale of the Conservative victory. But, you know, if Johnson doesn't carry out Brexit, then all those working class voters will rally again to Farage. And at that point, Johnson is going to be in very, very serious trouble. And I think he knows it, by the way. So I think he's scared of Farage. Farage is still there. He talks about immigration, big issue for many people. He talks about other things. But above all, he remains the guarantee that there will be Brexit, a real Brexit, a no-deal Brexit by the end of this year. Because Johnson, unlike Theresa May, knows that he cannot be underestimated.
Yeah, good on Farage. That's where he needs to be. He needs to keep them in check, keep them walking the straight and narrow. That's
exactly where he needs to be. To my mind, you know, a lot of people misunderstand Farage. You get all kinds of people who say, you know, that this man is all about, you know, himself, that he's a vanity exercise, that he's a politician who's interested in power. I think Farage is any of those things. I think Farage is interested in Brexit. He left British politics after the June 2016 referendum making the enormous mistake of thinking that Brexit was going to happen without him. He then realized that without himself, there was all this backsliding going on. He came back last year, and because he came back, you know, all guns blazing last year, Brexit took place. I mean, the Conservatives won. Britain left the European Union, its political structures, in January of this year. And it's going to leave its economic structures at the end of this year. The person who's getting Brexit done isn't Boris Johnson, it's Nigel Farage. And that's the real truth about British politics. He remains the single most important politician in Britain today.
Absolutely. Well said. All right. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Durand. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that subscribe button. Make sure to like, share, and comment. Send us a comment down below. We like reading your comments. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this small channel so we can report to you all the news that is going on in the world today. And please go to the Durand shop, pick up some merchandise. I've got a Canada Durand shirt, double-headed shirt with the Canadian flag on it. I've also got a USA magic mug here, which improves your geopolitical IQ by thousands upon thousands of points. Alexander.
And indeed, and I am currently drinking from my Durand mug with the Union Jack, the British flag, because obviously we're talking about British subjects. And also I'm drinking Yorkshire breakfast tea, and you need to have a real mug, a British mug, to drink what is the archetype of British teas. I've also got here, you will see, that I've got my enameled mug, which I take when I go outdoors on, you know, my big walking holidays, and that's got the flag of England. So England, of course, is the part of the United Kingdom, by far the biggest part of the United Kingdom, counts for over 80% of the British population, and it was the part that voted heavily for Brexit. So that's the section, it's the English working class voters who ultimately made Brexit happen and are going to make sure that it is done. So these are our wonderful magic mugs, both porcelain and enamel. And of course, I've also got other mugs. This is Australia, another great English-speaking nation, a nation of the British Commonwealth, very, very close to Britain. The British and the Australians have always had very close ties with each other, and there's great affection for Australia in Britain, which, by the way, I share. And you can also find many mugs with other flags. Alex has shown you one of our wonderful mugs with the US flag, but we've got flags of many countries. And if you don't find your own flag on one of our mugs, wait a little, it'll probably come. But if it doesn't come soon, just drop us a line. And you'll also find that we've got, as Alex said, shirts now with flags too. He's wearing the flag of Canada, another great English-speaking Commonwealth nation. And you will find lots of other flags, and you'll find embroidered shirts. They're all coming. And we've also got amazing hats, embroidered hats, and trucker's hats, and baseball caps. They're all in our shop. And before long, we will have more things there too. We've also got hoodies coming as well. And we've also got ebooks of all kinds that you will also find in our shop. And you support the channel by going to our shop. And you are the owner of these wonderful things if you go to our shop. So come to our shop, support the Durand, be the owner of these great things, and Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.